Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Tim Jordan, wake up! It's playoff time! Fix some things around here, TJ. Good morning, everybody out here. Get off their graveyard shift. TJ, man, the rail station's going down the drain. You're just sitting here laughing. Got a fire in the studio. Call 911. Anyway, shout out to YouTube and Twitch. Shasky, what's up? Wake up, baby. Playoffs! Shout out to YouTube and Twitch, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal First Class Money Market today, and you can now download the Odyssey app directly from our YouTube and Twitch pages, as we have added the QR code on both pages. Xfinity Mobile text line. Shout out to everybody out there getting off their graveyard shift. Monday. It's a Monday on the roast, my favorite day of the week. People don't believe me. Signing Guru do not believe that Mondays are my favorite day. You know why? It sets the damn tone for the week. You have a good Monday, cruising the rest of the week. It sets the tone.
I would agree. And when I'm looking at this Warrior season, Bonte, I'm very conflicted because on one level, like, hey, we're here. It's the playoffs. Even though they're not in the playoffs, they're in the play-in, and you get to face the Kings. And I'm excited for that because I love high stakes, anything in sports, especially a do or die, win or go home, whatever cliche you want to throw at it. And we're here. We're finally here. We wait all year to get to this moment. But on another level, I'm extremely frustrated because I can nitpick a moment here, yeah, a moment there. This happened. That happened. They didn't execute there. Some other guy on another team hits an unbelievable game winner. You know, Jokic, for example. So many little games. One more game, they're in the 7-8 seed. One more after that, and we would have had an opportunity to be in that 6-hole, right? So it's just like, gosh, the woulda, coulda, shoulda. I'm grinding my teeth here because I'm extremely frustrated. And so I feel like this year was a grab bag of results because there's so many things to be excited about, B. Yeah. Like, so many good things happened this year. And yeah, a lot of bad things happened too. But there's a lot of good stuff. And now we get to face the Kings in a win or go home situation. And that brings its own level of anxiety.
No. The season series Kings, Warriors tied at 2 games apiece. The Warriors were the first 2 games of the season against Sacramento. The last 3 contests between the Warriors and Kings have all come down to a single point. November 1st, 2023, Warriors beat the Kings 102-101. November 28th, up in Sacramento, Kings rally from a 24-point deficit. They win 124-123. I believe Chris Paul left that game with a hamstring injury, GP2, calf. He was playing really well. And then January 25th, 2024, the Kings won by 1 at Chase Center, 134-133, which Harrison Barnes, I believe, scored a career-high 39 points and hit 7 threes in that game. So last 3 matchups between the Kings and the Warriors have all come down to a single point. A single point. Now, was it physical? Here's the mindset of the Sacramento Kings. Here's Kyle Draper Friday night on NBC Sports California. I love him. I love Morgan. Morgan Reagan is going to join us at 9:20 to talk about this and the Kings and the Warriors and what she was doing on the set when Kyle Draper went off, talking about the physicality of the NBA. Here's where Sacramento's head's at. They keep bringing up the refs. Even Davion Mitchell yesterday, it's like, you know, hopefully the referees let us play and blah, blah, blah. Stop worrying about the refs, Sacramento. Here's Kyle Draper Friday night.
The NBA has a problem right now, ladies and gentlemen, and we had Tim Kempton on the radio today. The physicality has gotten out of control. It is not basketball that's being played right now in the NBA. It is bully ball out there. The NBA has gone too far the other way. Like, this is not fun to watch. Tim Kempton said it, and this is a guy that played in the 90s, played Bad Boys Pistons and all that, and for what I saw out there tonight, and it's not against Sacramento, it's not against Phoenix, it's against both teams. The NBA has to clean that up. I think there's too much physicality out there. And then to adjust to it middle of the season, I just don't like this brand of NBA basketball. It is not enjoyable to watch because so many times guys are getting fouled, they're throwing their hands up,
sure,
rightfully so, and these refs are swallowing the whistle. They're so-called letting the players decide on the floor. A foul is a foul is a foul. Make the calls, officials.
So,
and this is not about Kings didn't get the whistle. That's not basketball out there, guys.
So there's so much to pick apart. So I love Draper, man.
Was Friday night?
That was Friday night.
Because I flipped over after the Warrior game to the Kings
Suns
yeah, to watch the final whatever, right, however many minutes of it, 4 minutes of it, 5 minutes of it. I didn't come away with that take.
Yeah, I mean.
But again, I didn't watch the whole game, so right, maybe I missed stuff.
No, they've been complaining about fouls for a few months now up in Sacramento. And I get it. Sacramento doesn't get respect because they're the Kings. And that's wrong. They should get respect. As any, the Kings have a good 2-year run here. Very good. They got some nice young assets.
Is that why, like, this thing
but
we're
the
not
whole
too calls?
Physical.
Yeah.
What would you rather watch? Teams jack up 60 to 70 threes a game, not playing no defense, and the scores being 149 and 148? Would you like a little physicality?
But
we need some physicality back in the game.
The irony of one of your best players who drops his shoulder on every offensive possession and you saying that it's too physical. I mean,
yeah,
come on, dog, read the room.
I mean, it's a bonus.
Come on, Drapes. I mean, I've been doing this a little longer than, you know, some people, but, like, I don't pretend right to know every little detail. But, dog, like, when your number one culprit on your team is Sabonis, who literally initiates contact on every play, maybe you should read the room.
Let me stand corrected. We got the stickler of words. Matt Steinmetz chiming in here.
Why?
It ain't the playoffs yet. All right, it's the play-in tournament. Sorry, Steiny.
What?
But if it's a winner-go-home game.
Well, I mean,
so the stakes are high.
Can I be honest with you? I think he could call it not the playoffs. I think it is because we have wild card games in baseball to qualify into the playoffs and get into the divisional round.
Well, the wild card round is the playoffs.
It's
right?
The postseason. This whole thing is the postseason.
There we go. Thank you. Like, and the way I look at it, people are like, well, when they're in the playoffs, they never lose. This is up until last year. They never lose. I was like, well, all right. You could say when they're healthy, but they did lose to. To me, they lost to, those were playoff games to me, the Lakers and the Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah. People can disagree, fine. I thought those were playoff games, and they lost them both.
Let's go to,
I'm sure Steiny would have the word police, though. I mean, Jesus.
Daryl in Oakland, you're on the roast. You're on 95.7K. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning. You know, there's an extra little oomph to the Warriors in Sacramento because Vivek is helping out my nemesis, John Fisher, a little bit. And I'm not too stoked about that. I'm a native East Bay guy, and I really, really despise John Fisher. And, you know, I really would like the Warriors to just add that little extra chip on their shoulder to just beat down the Kings and say, Vivek, you screwed around with the wrong community. And as far as the coaches go, I think Steve Kerr did a great job. I think Warriors need to remember the era of, like, Dave Cowens when he had the second wave come in and how horrific that was. Steve Kerr's done a much better job. The only thing that I would say is, what are we going to do with Moses Moody? He's way too good to be on the bench. He was the most consistent bench player day in and day out, and I feel like if he played the entire year, we might have won one or two more games instead of Klay Thompson, but that's just my take.
Now, I don't know if he was the most consistent off the bench. I go to Chris Paul as the most consistent. Off the bench, Pods was pretty consistent. TJD became pretty consistent. Here's what I was thinking about with Moses Moody. It happened Friday night. Trey Murphy III went 17 overall in that 2021 NBA draft. Moses Moody went 14. JK went 7. When Trey Murphy III was getting ready for his, you know, was going through all this pre-draft workouts, he was in the Bay Area. And he was here early in the Bay Area. He was here for about 3 or 4 days. And even before his workout, he just kept coming to Chase Center, getting in work, getting up shots. Guy wanted to be a Warrior. And if you ask members at our organization today about Trey Murphy III, they will bang their head against the wall. A lot of people in that organization love Trey Murphy III. Loved him. Well, he went 17, Moses Moody went 14. So I started thinking about it even more so Friday night as Trey Murphy III is hitting 3 after 3. And he went 6-12 against Sacramento last Thursday. And you saw what he did last Friday at Chase Center. If they're not going to play Moses Moody, damn. Could have used Trey Murphy III and developed him who's longer, who's probably a better defender at this stage of his career, and is more of a threat offensively than Moses Moody is right now. Now, Moses Moody could be a better player than Trey Murphy III. We just haven't seen it yet because he hasn't gotten consistent playing time. Now, the cynic and people on the other side would say, boy, Trey Murphy III would have played with the Golden State Warriors. I don't know. Kid's a player.
You're saying you think he would have played with the Warriors?
I just think about that draft. I'm just like, boy, Trey Murphy III fits better with the Warriors than Moses Moody does from what I've seen from Moses Moody right now. But I don't know if I've seen everything from Moses Moody because he hasn't had consistent playing time.
No doubt. I mean, like, I'm just looking at the totals here. I'm just giving you the raw stuff. Like, his second year in the league, he had almost 2,500 minutes. You know, like, I'm looking at Kuminga, total minutes logged the last 2 years, and, I mean, he doesn't even eclipse 2,000 minutes in any of those seasons.
Is that 2,500 Trey Murphy III?
In the second season, yes. In his second. So now, he got hurt this year, so he doesn't have as many minutes as he did last year. But to your point, like, he played a lot last year. So, I don't know. Maybe he would be. I don't know. Maybe he would earn the trust more in practice and he'd play more. Because I'm surprised by how much Pajemski's played this year.
Yeah, no doubt.
And clearly he's shown them something. Now, maybe they've philosophically changed, pivoted, but he's been very productive.
Trey Murphy III is 6'8". He's 6'8". And see him at times getting switched on to Steph Curry. He doesn't look intimidated at all. Played 30 minutes a game this year. Played 31 minutes a game last year. Takes about 11 shots a game. Last year, he averaged 14.5 points per game. This year, nearly 15. Last year, shot 41 from three. This year, 38 from three.
I mean, he's good. At least,
I mean, you know, we could talk about Moses Moody all we want to, but I kept thinking, like, damn, a lot of people in that organization love Trey Murphy III. And now you're seeing Moses Moody, he's out of the rotation. It's hard for me to envision Trey Murphy III being out of the rotation team with the Golden State Warriors.
Who's he playing ahead of?
Well, who knows if they even draft Pods if Trey Murphy III is here? It's so many hypotheticals and so many moving parts.
But like last year, let me just real quick, like, because it is an interesting. Like I haven't thought of it that way, and I probably should. Like last year, he was going to play in front of Klay or Jordan Poole.
No, but Moses Moody did get a lot of playing time in the playoffs, especially against the LA Lakers. He played.
Okay.
And Andrew Wiggins was a little inconsistent.
I was thinking more of the regular season, okay.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's too many hypotheticals. You draft differently. Maybe you sign free agents differently. We don't know. It's hard to tell. But just going back to that pre-draft process, I know a lot of people in that organization love Trey Murphy III. And you watch him play Friday and look at where he's at in his career. Mm-hmm. He's so much farther along than Moses Moody. Like, it's not even close.
Yeah, it's not even close. It's not up for discussion.
What some people, and again, he's able to play through his mistakes. I think that's a big deal. You're down in New Orleans. Expectations are low. Moody gets drafted to a championship team. There's not a lot of minutes available for you. So I get all that.
Because I would love to see what Moses... I don't know. I don't know what he evolves into. I'd like to see Moses Moody in a situation where he does get 2,500 minutes
right.
a year.
That would be great.
Just to see what he is. Because, look, he might not... He might still be a 7th, 8th, 9th man on a team. Or more. I don't know. I know there are a lot of people that really think highly of Moses Moody, and I think there's been a general just frustration with him not having a specific role carved out in general.
Yeah. That's what frustrated me about Friday. I'm watching Trey Murphy III. I'm watching a warm-up before the game. I'm like, wow, look at that stroke. And Corey Brewer is now one of the assistant coaches with the Pelicans, so he's getting on Trey Murphy III. He's like, I dare you to make 6 in a row. You can't make 6 in a row. You can't make 6 in a row. And he missed a couple. Then I think he ended up making 6 in a row. But he's just like challenging. And he played 42 minutes. That was last night. Let me pull up his game log from Friday. Yeah, 42 minutes Friday night against the Warriors. 8 of 12 from the floor. 8 of 12. 6 of 9. He played the most minutes on the Pelicans. 6 of 9 from the three-point line. 24 points, 8 rebounds. That's big boy production. That's big boy production from Trey Murphy for the third. So I just think, I just during that game, I was just like, damn, the Warriors are now playing Moody. He's out of the rotation. And Trey Murphy III is out here soaring in back-to-back games in Northern California. And he's had a very good season, a very good two-year stretch. I don't know. It's just, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know about Moody. Let's go to Horace in Texas. Horace, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Oh, good morning, fellas. You guys all right?
Yeah, I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. Shatsky's doing well, too.
Good. Good to hear. Good to hear. Hey, man, Steve Kerr, his grade. I'm going to give him a B as in Bravo, man, maybe even a B plus, man. I think, you know, everybody needs to improve, you know, but he's not that bad. I think he's done an excellent job. I'm not all that happy with the rotations all the time. But, you know, we're sitting there watching the games, drinking wine and stuff. He's out there making it happen. He knows what he's doing. So he deserves the contract. I give him a B plus. As far as the team overall, mediocre, bruh. Mediocre. And Shasky, I agree with you as far as players need to pony up and take more responsibility for the team's performance, man, and not all on the coaches, man. I've been watching the NBA since the mid-60s, man, and I've seen players quit on coaches. I've seen players get coaches fired for no reason. I've seen players not show up. And it falls on the coach too much, and the players need to pony up and accept more of the responsibility. It's probably not going to change because players have all the control now. But that's why I liked Kobe and Jordan and guys like that, because they never made excuses talking about what they didn't have. Hey, they tried to do what they could to make things better.
Yep.
Can I say one thing about about the physicality?
Yeah.
Real quick.
No, absolutely.
Physicality in the game, you know, I don't really have a problem with how physical any team plays. All I ask is that the refs just call it even. Call it on both ends, and then the players will adjust to the physicality. Don't be doing all this whining. Just the only time I think you can whine about it is if the referees are not calling it on both ends. Mm. So that's my take. What you guys think?
No, I would agree with you, but you know, something Rick Barry said a decade ago sticks in my head, and it's altered however I've watched the NBA. In general, they've called the game a certain way for 6 months, 4 months, 5 months, and then playoff time, everything changes. And Rick would always get just furious at how much grabbing off ball they allow on Klay and Steph Curry. And I obviously started paying more and more and more attention to all of that. And he's right. And his frustration was, look, I've learned to play a certain way for 3, 4, 5 months. And then just because the calendar switches to a different date, you allow the physicality to crank up to a level that's not basketball off ball. Like, how that's very difficult to adjust to as a player. And so that's why you see certain guys in the playoffs, their production takes a taper.
Yep.
So I agree with the physicality within the game being consistent on both ends is a big problem just in general.
Moses Moody, I keep going back. I agree.
Why is that? With
the Moses Moody thing, it's very complex to me because he hasn't gotten the consistent minutes, but this fan base is clamoring for him. They just want to see him. Do a lot of people with Dub Nation who represent the team or root for this team, do they believe that Moody can have a pop like Kuminga? Is he a guy who could give you 20 a game? Can shoot?
You say pop like Kuminga. You and I agree that Kuminga's taking a big leap forward. I'm not sure everyone feels that way.
About Kuminga?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people that are like, if there's a better player down the road, staple Kuminga's contract to it. Like, I think a lot of people... I think it's split down the middle. Some think he's great and he's ascending and others are like, nope, get him out of here. I don't think it's just the consensus is there.
Because a lot of people feel like, oh man, you're disrespecting Moses. I like Moses Moody
when
a lot.
He's interesting.
No. I'm just saying, yeah, Moses Moody, when did. I see Trey Murphy the third and Moses Moody, just the projections looking forward. Trey Murphy feels better suited for today's NBA game. But then again, and I keep saying this, and I'll say it over again, I don't know who Moses Moody is because he didn't get consistent playing time. Now, last year, the second round against the Lakers, Steve Kerr had him defending LeBron James. That's a mismatch. I mean, first of all, nobody could guard LeBron James, but Moses Moody to stay doesn't seem like the right matchup.
Now you're bringing me to like a bigger point that I think – so there's a consensus of like GP2, woohoo, right, from people. Like they love GP2. And I'm like, GP2's fine, but here's where I have the problem with GP2. It's not the player. It's that I know the players themselves and the coach is going to always pivot back to him when in doubt. When I see – GP2 play, I go, well, that's at the expense of Moses Moody.
Right.
Well, that's at the expense of Jonathan Kuminga because he's very redundant to those two players. And so my frustration with the entire Wiseman trade wasn't necessarily that you traded Wiseman. It's that you brought back something that I felt you already had to like, you had a couple wild cards that I wanted to see if they were any good already.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so to me, GP2 represents every minute he's on the floor is a minute that could have gone to Moses Moody or Jonathan Kuminga,
yep,
just to see if they're any good.
Yeah,
and I kind of know what GP2 is, and I like GP2, and he's fine. Well, whatever,
maybe just shove him for 3 weeks to see what Moody and JK has. Now,
but you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, but you may sacrifice some wins in the process or some mistakes, and you're in that coaching
seat. So be it.
You're in that coaching seat, though, and you got Joe Lacob sitting across the court from you, staring down at you, looking for wins after win after wins. You got to do what you got to do to win a game.
No, I'm not mad at the coach. I'm saying from the roster construction, I think you set yourself up for suppressing one of the two youngsters by having the redundancy of GB2. Then here's how it gets compounded. I'm forced to play a lot of 3 and 4 guard lineups because I rely so heavily on GP2. I don't get the size out there. I don't get the length. All I'm saying is like GP2 is a useful player, but it comes at the expense of other Moody, players on the team. And then it gives you kind of clunky lineups where you have 2 non-shooters or 3 non-shooters or 3 or 4 guard lineups.
No, I agree with that. And it's hard to knock GP2 because – at times when he is in there, he's effective.
Yeah.
You know, Moody, I think the one thing with Moody that he needs to improve on is his lateral quickness. I see him get beat backdoor way too many times at times.
Where he's face guarding someone, I agree.
Lateral quickness, I thought it...
He gets caught flat-footed.
He's not as athletic that I think people perceive him to be.
Well,
what I'm saying?
I also think that on this team, there's a lot of you got to help a lot, and I think he gets caught in between helping and staying with his own guy.
Right.
He gets caught in no man's land, and then what ends up happening, he takes one step to the left, guy goes backdoor, boom, layup.
Well, that's the thing. Like Moody, he just looks a step slow at times, and laterally athleticism, I don't know if that's his strong suit.
I think GP2 is more explosive.
Yeah, no doubt.
Clearly.
He just knows defensively. He just thinks the game better. His IQ defensively.
I agree.
And that's something that Steve Kerr covets. And a lot of people tell me about defense. Well, who are you going to play when you need to stop? Moody or GP2?
Moody's three-point shot balances the floor.
It does.
Better than people acknowledge.
But if you need to stop, who are you going to play? Probably going to play GP2, right?
Yes. And because your best player is Steph, whose defense is a liability, you're more inclined to go with a defensive person somewhere in that front court or back court.
Exactly. But I do want to see. I don't know what Moody is. I think there's a player there. But I just think about Trey Murphy the third. I'm like, boy, I think Trey Murphy would be a factor on his team. I think Trey Murphy would have played so well, he would have forced Steve Kerr's hand just because of the player. 6'8", 6'9". He's a two-way player. He defends. He's long. He deflects a lot of passes. Boy,
So who's who missed on that?
Somebody in the organization missed, because there are some people in the organization who really wanted him. They came together and drafted Moses Moody. So I don't know who's that on. It's a group effort, right? That's what Joe Lacob came to the studio and told us.
Yeah.
It's a group effort. All right. BPA Kurt in Oakland on the other side. Get the BPA Kurt in Oakland on the other side. That'll be brought to you by Pacific Coast Termite.
This is Clay Thompson, and you are listening to The Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
Speaking of Clay, wow. We get ready for the Sacramento Kings tomorrow in the playing game. Warriors at Kings, 9-10 matchup. Winner events is to play the loser of the Lakers-Pelicans game. I wonder how many fans had this thought come up in their head. I couldn't help myself. It's Fitz and Bukie interview Clay Thompson walking off the court yesterday. It was the final regular season game of the season. Could have been a final home game of the season. If the Warriors want to have another home game, they need to win basically two road games to get to the first round of the playoffs to take on OKC. But did anybody, am I the only one where I'm watching Klay Thompson go 7-13 in 20 minutes, 6-12 from the three-point line, make all five of his free throws and score 25 points yesterday? Was I the only one where in my mind it crossed, that could be the last time we ever see Klay Thompson play at home at Chase Center in a Warrior uniform?
I've been thinking about that for the last month. You know, like, I've been thinking about it a lot for the last month. I don't know how many of the fans are thinking about that. I think most fans have assumed they'll get into the playoffs and we'll get a playoff moment. And I think a lot of also fans are of the belief that Steph, Klay, and Draymond are going to be Warriors for life. I don't know how accurate that is, but I feel like that's the assessment that most fans have.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, Monty Poole yesterday, he joined us on Warriors Pre and Post. I love when Monty's on the set because he's always got an opinion and, you know, well-thought-out opinions. And he said, I'm not sure about Klay Thompson coming back on the Golden State Warriors. I'm not so sure about that. And I'm not sure about that because anything can happen in free agency. And he's at a different point in his career. But look at these numbers since the All-Star break compared to Steph Curry's. And I'm not trying to pit one against the other. But in 27 games, and Klay played 77 games this season, most of the team. Since the All-Star break in 27 games, 19 points a game, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, but the efficiency, 45.5% from the floor, 41% from 3. Now, if you look at Steph Curry post-All-Star break, it wasn't as pretty in 24 games. Now, he did average 23-5-5. I'm not scoffing at those numbers. Those are all-star numbers. But for Steph Curry, he only shot 42% from the floor. There's a Steph standard. There's a standard for everybody else. That does not meet the Stephen Curry standard. We're talking about a 50-40-90 guy. Shot 42% from the field since the All-Star break. Now, his last couple games, it helped. It helped going 6-for-6 against the Lakers. It helped going 7-13 against the Pelicans to move that three-point percentage up to 38% since the All-Star break. But if you look before that Lakers game, before that 6-of-6 night, and before the 7-13 night, he was shooting 36% from three. So Steph struggled with efficiency since the All-Star break. And if you take away the Lakers game and the Pelicans game, that's 41% from the floor. But we're not going to do that. We're going to add that zone. And those are still not numbers up to Steph Curry's standard. So Klay Thompson played, I thought he played some good ball as a team defender. I thought he played really good ball offensively. But it did cross my mind that, damn, what if that's the last home game for Klay Thompson? I don't even want to put that out in the stratosphere, but it did cross my mind. Now, I think he's going to be back. It's hard to see me not seeing number 11 in the Warriors uniform. Boy, he don't know what could happen in the summer. I don't know what could happen. I don't know what's going on through his mind. He told Draymond Green on his podcast, look, man, I want to be a Dub for life, but let me see what's best for my mental health. Let me see what's best for me.
What'd you make of that?
That he's going to weigh all his options.
No, but like him saying that what's best for his mental health. What did you make of him saying that?
Basically,
statement?
It's just
because that surprised me.
Well, it didn't surprise me, but it's just like, hey, mentally, is this the best spot for me now? I know that some of the fan base has wrote me hard, and he listens to all that. He admitted, you know, Klay Thompson hears the noise. He hears that people say he's washed. You don't think that bothers him? Obviously it did. It bothered him when he didn't finish that game against the Brooklyn Nets. It bothered him initially when he didn't start and he had to come off the bench, but he embraced it. He sat back, said, you know what? I'm blessed to play basketball. So he's going to do what's best for him.
It did sound like, I mean, again, I'm reading between the lines here, but from Klay and from what he said and from what Steve Kerr said, a seminal moment in Klay's career Klay's season this year was him and Steve Kerr having multiple conversations and him coming to some sort of an epiphany. That did feel like it was like the line of demarcation for him to kind of take off. And you saw it in shot selection. You saw it in him distributing the ball significantly better to someone like TJD. You saw his efficiency go up. I do think before a lot of the conversations, he really did care about starting. Absolutely. And I know you said long enough, guys don't care about starting, they care about finishing.
No. I said they care. Some people do, but they also more care. He went crazy because he didn't finish.
Well, again, that is no doubt. I also think it matters to him.
No, it did.
I agree with the closing. But I also think on the front end, like both are true. I think he really cared about starting. And then once he allowed that situation to kind of play itself out, naturally now he's back into the starting lineup, and everybody's better for it.
But you know what, though? When he came off, when he didn't finish that Brooklyn game on the road, that was the first time we seen him express it to the media. Like, whatever. Like, you know, we won the game, but it visibly bothered him that he didn't close the first half or the second half.
For sure.
That seemed like that put him over the edge. Like when he came off the bench, he was like, you know what? I get to find the rhythm of the team, whatever. It's fine.
Look, he's an all-time legend. He's a Warrior lifer, and whether he stays a Warrior or not. But a big part of the last couple of years has been his emotions on the floor. Like that's been a big part of what they've been navigating,
right?
You know, whether it's individually with him or the greater team dynamic, like that is a big thing. And so I think that me personally, because I know last year I was very harsh on him. This year, as he's come around, I've come around on him. I find him to be playing really good basketball. The connection that he's had with TJD has been really, really good. I feel like his shot selection and getting his feet set before he shoots has been so much better. In terms of what they do moving forward, we have to let that thing play itself out. Both people, both Klay and the Warriors, if they're going to go in a different direction, the Warriors better have an upgrade.
Well, who was it that called us? Your boy in Florida, Boca Raton? He said, man, this league values Klay Thompson. And I don't know his sources.
Does this team, so like right now, with the team that they have right now, they're the 10 seed. And we can make all the reasons and why they are the 10 seed. Like I've been saying all morning, a couple games here and boom, they're in the 6. Is that good enough?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because that's where I get torn on the Clay conversation. I don't, where I'm like, well, he's a valuable player for this team. But like, how else are you going to find upgrades? And then is there an upgrade out there?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's he going
to
get?
I tell you what, Tennessee's not good enough. No, it's not good enough.
Agreed.
And Memphis will be better next year. As much as I joke about the Memphis Grizzlies, they will be better next year. Josh coming back. Ja's a problem. When he's on the floor,
and
he's a dynamic player.
Where is Ja?
So Ja's going to be back. You don't think Wimby and the Spurs are going to get better?
Well, yeah.
They just beat the Nuggets on Friday night coming back from Toronto because of Wimby. And Wimby's a one-man wrecking crew.
Wimby might be a top five player next year.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to go too ahead of myself here, but the Utah Jazz
struggled like crazy this year. They also won 31 freaking basketball games, which is surprising. So, to that caller's point in Brooklyn Raton, does the league value Klay Thompson? I know for a fact this league values Klay Thompson. I know for a fact they do that. Now, I don't know his sources, but I know my sources, and I know my sources say, boy, if Clay's available, who couldn't use the shooting that he provides on a given base, on any given basis?
Well, the Warriors could use the shooting.
That's what I'm saying.
But I guess this goes back to the price has got to be right, Bob Barker,
everyone. Has got to be right, and how much better are you going to be with Klay Thompson back next year? You're 10 seed right now.
Well, no, I guess that's why I go back to
right now.
But Bonte, that's why I go back to the price point, and I say, like, because of their cap situation, if they can get a good enough deal, you might be able to finagle another max contract, even though you'd be paying top dollar and all that. Like, I don't know what they're willing to sacrifice. To get under the second apron is very important. But at the same time, if CP3 opts out and Clay takes half less, now you got a max slot.
Well,
you know?
Well, the price, and I'm not going to speak for Clay Thompson, but how does Klay Thompson not get the same amount of money per year as Andrew Wiggins and Draymond Green?
Which, okay, but that gives you the 30 plus that CP3 would have, plus the extra 15 to 20, and then you can move some other guys. Like, you create a max slot, is what I'm saying, if he can take $25 million a year.
All right. But even then, we don't even know.
But then there's got to be a guy available.
And also CP3 is a team option, not a player option. So I don't know what you do there. I don't know. That conversation is for the offseason. And who knows when the offseason will start? Could start tomorrow night. Could start Friday night. Could start in 2 weeks. Who the hell knows when it's going to start? But the Warriors have to win tomorrow against Sacramento, as we'll break that game down ad nauseum tomorrow here on the Morning Roast. Let's go to BPA. Brian in Palo Alto, what's happening? One word to describe the season, BPA. I'm sure you got a doozy.
One word, not shocked would be two words, but I didn't think, I mean, obviously I didn't think they would be the 10th seed, but I didn't think they were a championship contender coming in. I think that all the other discussion around Clay and other stuff, right, it's all about, it has to be, if you're going to move forward with Steph, it's about getting him a second star, because every other contending team in the West has one, generally. Some of them have three. So and he can't do it by himself anymore, right? You can't ride him for 70 games and expect him to score 30 plus points every night. I think, you know, you saw him wear down at the end of the year. He was less effective at the end of the year. So, I mean, to me, obviously you guys disagree with my Kuminga take on last week. Obviously followed that up, skipped the Pelicans game, then went 0-0 yesterday. But I think that's a big story, because it looks like he looked mentally checked out yesterday. Is Kerr going to have him in the rotation? I don't know. It's an honest question.
I think it's the quickest hook of all time.
Yeah, so like to go from, I think Kuminga, who was like 2 months ago was our second most reliable player on a night-to-night basis, to what I saw yesterday, is disturbing, unequivocally disturbing. And, you know, like maybe when he came back and he wasn't put back in the starting lineup, I don't know, but something's off. And then he was hurt with tendonitis, and Kerr was like, well, we thought he was ready to go, but JK said he didn't want to go, right? Like, he said that. So,
well, who,
like,
said it? I mean, go ahead, BPA.
Jonathan said he can't go, right? He didn't say
Did he say that verbatim? Did JK say that?
He did.
He said that he can't go? Is that a problem?
He said Jonathan said he can't.
Is that a problem, so, that JK, like, said that?
Guys,
he's got tendonitis.
I've never heard Kerr say our training staff cleared a guy, but he said he didn't want to play, right? Never. So something's off, guys. I'm sorry. I hate to break the narrative of JK took this massive leap, but taking a leap means you got to close with the leap. And he hasn't closed with the leap. I'm right. I'm sorry. And, you know, we'll see how it plays. I don't think he's going to be – if he's not playing 25, 30 minutes tomorrow and you're going into the offseason with that – like, it changes the whole narrative, because Kuminga is a guy that, Pat, you opt in CP3, because it's the Warriors' choice to opt him in, by the way. It's not CP3.
Yeah, no, it's team option,
you can,
yeah.
You can package him out as expiring with Kuminga. With Kuminga, we'll get you a top-level guy.
Come on, if you feel like that about Kuminga, BPA, how do you think other GMs feel about Kuminga? You truly believe that Kuminga is going to net you a tier one player in the NBA?
I think it will opt to give Steph a running mate for sure. I mean, look.
Who would that running mate be?
Got Bradley. The Suns got Beal, who I don't think Beal's the greatest player on earth. What did they give up to get Beal? Did they give up, like, the Soon and the Sun and the
Chris,
Moon?
Chris Paul no, and they took on the contract.
So it's possible. On some level, it's a choice, though, right? If they want to get a legit second guy with Steph, they can do that. They have the assets.
So you believe JK and other assets could get you a second star? What would those other assets be? Now I'm curious.
I don't know. I'm not a GM, you know?
You're acting like you are. You just said that you get a second star for JK.
In some alternate universe, I feel like you're like Fitz's, you know, alter ego or something. Like, the way that he described certain things was certainty. I mean, I'm right, you're wrong, Kuminga's fading.
When did Kuminga say to the Niners, obviously he's bothering his knee?
I guess I missed the Kerr thing.
Yeah, I missed that too. Maybe somebody run that back for me. Did Kerr say, we cleared him and he doesn't want to play?
One thing I do know about BPA is,
I know JK wants to play. What are you talking about? That's part of the problem. That's why he had the meeting with Steve Kerr in the first place, because he wants to play. Like, that's the whole Kuminga rift. He wants to. Why did he go to CJ Holmes last year at the Chronicle? Because he wants to play. Why did he go to Shev Sharadia midway through the season? Because he wants to play. Now you're saying that, you know what? He's got knee tendonitis and his job got taken, so now he quits on the team? Well, damn, if he's a quitter, then we can't have that. That's a bigger problem.
Is he talking about Friday against the Pelicans?
He didn't play.
He didn't play. Well, pelvic contusion.
Correct. Kerr mentioned that he's planning to rest some guys, and that Kuminga could be a candidate there. So,
if you want to ask me, like, one of the hidden things that's frustrated me, and guys are hurt, but, like, these maintenance days and all these little, like, this guy's taking this day off, like, I could point to so many games. The Maverick game in Dallas, for example, the one Wiggins doesn't play.
Wiggins and Kuminga missed that game.
It's like, if one of those guys plays, boy, I feel like they win that game. And I could be wrong. Maybe they still blow the game. But, God, there's just so many of those throughout the season.
Let's go to, boy, did Kuminga say that? I don't think Kuminga said that. Now, Friday night I was shocked he didn't play. And it had nothing to do with the tendonitis. But he is out of rhythm right now. And I know Kalina Azubuki yesterday on a cover shit, he goes, boy, he'll be good to get JK back into a rhythm that he was in before he missed the six games with the knee tendonitis. But there's no doubt tomorrow night, in my mind, that if he does make a couple of mistakes early, Kerr will have a quick hook. You can't mess around with this game. You cannot mess around with this game. You lose this game, it is over. And we're talking about one of the most riveting off seasons in Golden State Warriors basketball history, I believe.
Look, I know
this is a tipping point this offseason. This will change everything. This could dictate the next 10 years of the franchise.
The biggest offseason they had was the year Durant left, up until this point. This one feels even bigger because you got so many things up in the air. Like, there's just so much. But BB, the Kuminga thing, I do think this is very important. I do worry about his psyche and just where he's at and about confidence and all those things. Like, there's clearly a frustration with what's happened to his role and his pecking order on the team, and I get it. And I also get it from the team standpoint of why they're rolling with other guys and why they're rolling with the hot hand. And I feel like the train is going down the tracks, and he jumped off the train for a couple of weeks, and he's had a tough time jumping back on the train with where he was 4 miles ago. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No doubt.
And I see both sides of it. I see his frustration, but I see the greater, you know, like there's the bigger picture, which is the team.
Moody's also frustrated. You don't think Moody's frustrated as well?
Yeah, but I don't think Moody has ever been has impacted winning the way Kuminga has.
But you don't think he's frustrated? Oh. And you don't think that Moody deep down inside thinks he can impact winning too?
I think CP3 is frustrated on the inside that he's not playing more and having more of his finger on.
That's why the whole finishing thing.
Yeah.
It matters to guys who's on the floor in winning time.
But I also
when the cameras are on. Like, there's a lot of people in the first quarter who don't get there by the starting lineups. They're drinking their beers. They're in the bathroom. They're late to the party. But everybody's sitting still in the last 5 minutes of clutch time watching to see what goes down. Whoa, that was nice.
Was that?
Conscious, not conscious.
No, daughters. It was a freak in the morning, a freak in the evening.
Who was that?
Was it Adina
Howard?
Yeah, Adina Howard. There you go. Look at you.
My hockey number 3 just went rogue, and I don't know where it's playing from. So I think we'll have to get Tim Jordan back in here.
Maybe I think it was Adina Howard. I think you're right.
All right, Adina Howard.
But one more thing. I think when you're an established player and you've made hundreds of millions of dollars, just using CP3 as an example, I do think that you change, you mature, you're 39. Like, Kuminga has yet to establish himself in the NBA. I think there's a part of him wanting to prove I'm a starter, right? Because there's levels to each thing. Am I an NBA player? Yes. Okay. Can I be a role player? Yes. Okay, now I want to be a starter, right? Like, I want to be a starter. And I want to get paid, right? And I think those two things are linked for him. So I think there's a lot of things at play here, and I don't think the Warriors' record or where they end up at the end of the year are at the forefront of his desires right now. And I also believe that he thinks that, and I'm not knocking him for that, because I think I'd feel the same way at 21 years old. But I also think that, like, in his mind, it's like, yeah, we're better when I play when I play well, because that's the confidence he has in himself.
Well, again, Steiny hinted at this, and I thought about it too.
What's that?
Right when it was happening. Right as he was in the midst of missing six straight games with knee tendonitis. Andrew Wiggins misses 3 games due to personal reasons. And he had been coming off the bench, starting. He comes back. He starts right away. Kuminga takes note of that. It's like, oh, it's all good. We're still playing well together. The combo of Wiggins and JK and Draymond actually did develop a nice rapport and some nice chemistry. Mm-hmm. Even though Steve Kerr said, yeah, we're not going to go that route. These guys, you know, the whole narrative that they can't play together. Well, they proved they can play together, Wiggins and Kuminga and Draymond Green. And then J.K. misses the 6 games, and he doesn't get his job back. Now, he mentioned it as he was answering questions after that Utah game a week ago, where he was basically saying, hey, man, as long as we're winning, I understand TJD's playing well. But you look at last year and what happened last season. Wiggins misses 2 months of the season. J.K. helped save the season a season ago by stabilizing things, whether it was starting or coming off the bench. J.K. played really well heading into the playoffs. And then Wiggins comes back. Now, the first game, Wiggins comes off the bench against Sacramento, but what do you know? Wiggins is now in the finishing lineup for the Golden State Warriors in that Game 1 against Sacramento. And from that point on, J.K. barely saw the court. So those are also baked into the equation. So is the young man mentals a little fragile by not playing? He's probably thinking, boy, what else do I have to do? I average 20 points a game. I get to the free throw line. Outside of Stephen Curry, nobody gets to the free throw line like me. We had to rename the segment Flying Above the Rim to Eric Congo because he was on there ducking on somebody's head every single night. And he's playing well and rebounding. He's defending. Now there's going to be mistakes. You got to play through that if you're a young player. Trey Burke for the third. Brandon Ingram. They've had those opportunities. Obviously, they're not on championship teams, so it's a little different here. But you got to be thinking, if you're JK, he's like, what else can I do? And now here we are talking about the playing game, where if he makes a couple mistakes early, he may not see a lot of playing time.
If I pulled 100 Warrior fans, as we're doing a year in review here, who was better this year, Wiggins or Kuminga?
I think Kuminga.
What do you think the numbers are when you pull 100 fans?
Don't know. It depends on the day.
50-50?
Two weeks ago would have been 80-20.
Okay. What's it today?
I don't know. I'm eager to hear from Dub Nation on that. I don't know. I don't know.
I think Kuminga in a landslide was better than Andrew Wiggins. The last 2-3 weeks, no. But that doesn't encapsulate the body of the season.
I think JK's been better.
Yeah, I do too.
I do. If I had to bet on the future, yeah, I'd bet on JK over Andrew Wiggins. And I'm not trying to slander Andrew Wiggins. But JK does seem to have a lot of upside, but that go-get-it attitude.
But here's where it gets tricky. As you, like, again, just eye on the offseason. Just an eye, not both eyes, an eye. He is one of the few guys that has value and is an asset and a commodity that people covet.
And he, you know what?
Under a very team-friendly deal for one more year.
And somebody's going to have to extend him and give him new money.
For sure.
So that is... It's going to be fascinating to watch how this develops tomorrow night if the Warriors can beat the Sacramento Kings. Let's go to Kurt in Oakley. He's been on hold along and see if we can get to everybody out here. Kurt, what's happening? You're on the Roast.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. The one word to describe the Warriors this year is small. They just don't have enough size.
Mm.
And they talk about the Moody and Kuminga, you know, draft picks with Troy Murphy III. They could have picked up Sengun from Houston. That would have helped a lot. You know, granted, he would need to develop, but he probably would have known his role and figured out what needed to be done.
Yeah.
And that would have helped a ton in today's game with them. You know, the screen setting, you know, a legit big sets a screen and frees up Steph with two people hounding him. The staggered screen by Draymond or TJD, and then they can roll. It would work perfectly. But they were just too small this year. I'm glad they got to where they're at. I mean, it's the best they could have done. You know, sure, they missed a couple games here and there. It happens. But it's just, they're just too small.
Yeah.
And as for the physicality of the league, you know, I love the more physical game. You know, as long as it's not over the top. And to quote the legendary Bill Russell, when Steve Kerr was a commentator and asked him one time, in today's game, how many points would you average? And Bill Russell said to him, I'd average about 10 to 12 points. And Steve Kerr says, that's it? And Bill Russell said, well, I am 77. And, you know,
that's a good one.
Let's go to Larry in L.A. Larry, what's happening? You're on the Roast, Larry.
I want to thank you guys. You guys are great. I love your show, and I listen to everyone else. So I heard you guys maybe went camping this weekend. I hope you had a good time.
Oh, Shasky did.
I hope you had a good time. I hope Shasky had a good time. Camping's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't camp. My brother set up the trailer tent pop-up thing in my driveway.
Hey, that's camping.
Well, we did have a 80-something inch television watching UFC fights.
Is it 80-something inches now?
That's part of camping.
It's going to be 90
this week. That's part of camping, man.
So you hear that, Larry? Last week it was 70. Then it became 80 an hour later. Now it's 80-something inches.
80 plus.
Size 80 plus.
Matters. Size does matter, Fitz.
Yeah.
And like the last caller, we're not small.
Okay, I kind of missed that. I kind of missed what you were saying there, but...
Whatever you got on the Warriors.
But I just want to bring up one point, if I could, because all your shows have educated me, and I think this is great for the nation. I think this is great for basketball at this point, but we're all dreamers. If you're a Warrior, you're a dreamer. You think they can go all the way. So from all your guys' show, your show, everyone else, you gave me the idea.
Oh, and just like that, he's gone.
Damn. Thought there was going to be a payoff.
I thought it was going to be a payoff, too.
Really curious to see what that idea would have been.
Yeah, I am too. Let's go to Hoot Marin. Hoot, there it is. Hoot, there it is.
Hoot, there it is.
There it is, baby.
There it is.
What up, Hoot?
Guys, how you doing?
Good, man.
You're a Hoot.
Yeah, I got a kind of a bone to pick with you guys. I think you guys are being a little rough on Moody, man. Question is athleticism. That's a low shot, dude.
No, I just said his lateral movement. I want to see more of his lateral movement. He's athletic, hell of a more.
No, what you said is his athleticism is something left to be desired. I heard you. But anyway, what I'm saying is, I'm saying I would rather have a guy who, like you say, maybe need to work on a few things, but have the hustle and the desire than some guy who, like you just said, I don't know why it's okay for Kuminga to power. By not getting in time, but for Moody, who hasn't pounded a lick and who's been jerked around by the coaching staff more than any player that I could ever remember.
Let me ask you something, Hoot. Let me ask you something. How good do you think Moses Moody is? What's his ceiling right now? Because I'm not intrigued, because I've been hearing about Moses Moody for the last 2 months, and I love Moses Moody. I do. I think he's a professional. I let that kid date my daughter. I would. That's how much I think about Moses Moody. That's how highly I think
of him.
Wait
a few years, but
no. I mean, I'm saying when she turns 21,
I know, I'm joking.
But no, it's a terrible joke. But listen, what's his ceiling? What is Moses Moody's ceiling, since we're talking about it?
You know something, Bonte will never know, because as soon as he starts to ascend, Kerr yanks him.
Do you think the league? I'm going to ask you sincerely. Do you think the league as a whole, GMX, thinks that Kuminga or Moody has higher upside?
I take Moody for his attitude every single day of the week.
Well, I love Moody's attitude, but not everyone's going to have that attitude. And, you know, anybody who has multiple children. Joe, of the only one of all of us, you've got multiple kids. Are they exactly alike?
No, totally opposites.
I mean,
Benny is very quiet, reserved. He's very sensitive, very more emotional. Nora will bite your head off and not even think twice about it.
Within the same family, right? Yep. Like that's everyone. Me and my brother are totally different. I mean, I know you guys haven't spent too much time around my brother, but completely different. I don't know, man. Kuminga is different than Moody, and I don't think Kuminga's done anything wrong.
Yeah,
I don't think we've slandered Moody either. I think that all we're saying is, like, here are some of his strengths. Here's an area where, like great example. I don't think Pajemski's the greatest defender, but he's been great this year. Now, a year, 2 years down the line, he gets a bigger role. We'll talk more about his defense.
I said Moody doesn't have the lateral quickness that I would like in that position, and he's not as athletic as I thought he would be. Is that a false statement?
No.
You tell me if that's a false statement, Rosters. No. Hey, like, that's all I said. We're not slandering Moses Moody. It's a good shooter, but I don't know what he is yet because I haven't seen him consistently. And again, who are you going to play him ahead of right now? We did this exercise last week with Steve Kerr, which was playoff rotation with nine guys.
Yes.
Who are you going to play him above? You're going to play him ahead of J.K.? You're going to play him ahead of Andrew Wiggins? You're going to play him ahead of J.K. Klay Thompson? Are you going to play him ahead of, I don't know, Brandon Pajimski on this team? Don't know.
I don't know. The Pajimski thing's interesting because there have been certain three-guard lineups where I actually would rather see Moody.
Right.
But overall, I think Pods has brought the element that they need, which is that other ball handler in the half court to facilitate more times than not. But there are times where I think, like, all right, you're going with Pajemski here and GP2 and CP3 and, you know, whatever. Yeah, I'd like to see Moody out there. But, like, far between.
I would love to see Moses Moody. Got to figure out who he is. He's going through year three. We still don't know who he is, but maybe the coaches know who he is. Maybe that's why he's not playing. Because maybe the coaches know something that we don't. They're the pros. Kenny Atkinson, Steve Kerr, Chris DeMarco, Ron Adams. Maybe they know something we don't. I don't know. Let's go to Free the People. Free the People in Oakland. What's up, Free the People?
You totally took me off my topic. Good morning, fellas. I was going to talk about these bigs, but I think Moses Moody could realistically average 15, 5 rebounds, and maybe a steal and a half a game if he got the requisite playing time. I love Brandon Pajimski, but I definitely think Moses Moody could cut into some of his minutes just because of his defensive prowess, his long arms. He's always poking balls. Mm-hmm. He always finds his way around loose balls. Those are things I value, and I realize that Brandon Pajimski is the best rebounding little guy probably damn near in the league, maybe. He's the best at taking charges. He's a good player, and he's going to grow and ascend to be a better player. But I do think some of his minutes can be eaten into by Moses Moody. I think also some of those tweener Clay minutes when Clay is on the bench could be some Moses Moody minutes. From what we got from Andrew Wiggins, I think Andrew Wiggins right now today is a better player than Moses Moody, but his engine is not Moses Moody's engine. And I realize that skill over engine is a thing, and I'm not going to knock skill over engine because that would be preposterous. But when Wiggins is having those nights where he clearly is not engaged, when he looks like the guy who we got from Minnesota, who all the Warriors fans who really watch basketball knew who he truly would be, when we see Andrew Wiggins have those nights, those are absolutely nights that Moses Moody could steal some minutes. My original point, though, was about the conversation about having a big, and that's why we get beat up and we can't handle a physical game. I don't know if guys are watching games ad nauseum like I do. I watch every single Warriors game. If I miss a game, it may be a quarter at most. Being a family man, we've been in every game just about this year with all the elite teams. We've lost most of those games, true enough,
But a lot of those losses were due to Draymond being suspended. If Draymond's not suspended for 25 games, we're top five seed easily. Mm-hmm. I do agree that we could use more size, but I don't know if we're watching the same game, because when I see Trayce Jackson-Davis on the court, the Warriors kind of look like the Bogut Warrior days, where he's allowing Draymond to roam, mm-hmm. and the Warriors are free on defense to move how they want to. That's no knock on getting bigger, but we're able to compete with teams without the, so much of the, this guy's only 6'8". Trayce Jackson-Davis is eating up most centers. He's dunking on 7'5" guys. He's dunking on 7-footers. Is he a superstar? No. But is he a serviceable big man that allowed the Warriors to play the defense they need to play to be a winning team and finish in a playoff spot versus a playing spot? He absolutely is. I just wish Kurt gave him that chance earlier in the season. I've talked a lot, and you guys allowed me to, so I just want to say I greatly appreciate you. Have a great Monday, guys. I'm off.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.